Vicar was wrong.
And I believed him. So I cannot speak this morning on by way of testimony. I cannot tell you that I have drunk liquor and then quit drinking and that it's better not to drink. My preacher told me it's wrong. I believed him. You ought to believe yours too. And my mother told me it's wrong. And my Sunday school teachers told me. And I figured as a boy that my preacher had more sense than I did. And I figured that my mother had more sense than I did, and so does yours. And I figured that my Sunday school teachers had more sense than I did, and I figured they loved me. And so I believed them, and I did not drink. So I've never tasted liquor. I don't know what it's like. I've never had a swallow of beer. I've never had a swallow of whiskey. I've never had a screwdriver unless I was going to fix something. I never had a Bloody Mary unless I used a Band-Aid to help her straighten up. But I never had it. So I cannot stand here this morning and say I drank and I quit and I want you to know I'm happier now. I cannot do that. My preacher told me that it was wrong to smoke. I do not know that it's better not to smoke. I can't stand here and say to you by testimony that it's better not to smoke than it is to smoke. I've never smoked a cigarette. I have never had a cigarette in my lips. I cannot tell you by testimony. But my preacher said it was best, and I figured my preacher, but he knew more than I did. And I figured my preacher was an honest man, and I figured he loved me. And my mother told me it was wrong to smoke, and I thought she was a pretty smart lady. And I thought that I'd better take her advice. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You young people are fools if you don't listen to your preacher and your mother and your Sunday school teachers. You're fools. You really are. You'll go your head a long way toward your own self-will, and you'll end up at the end of the road like everybody else does, miserable, unhappy, with your life wrecked and ruined. I cannot keep you from doing it, but I can wash your blood from my own hands. I cannot keep you from wasting your life and laughing at your mother and flaunting your preacher's teaching. I can't keep you from doing that, but I can wash my hands of your blood, and I'll be able to say I did what I could to keep her, make her happy. I did what I could to help him, and I do not know whether it is better or more fun in church or in the tavern. I don't know. I've been to a tavern one time in my life, and that was on New Year's Day, 1950, when I walked in to get my dad, who was a bartender in that tavern, and drag him outside and sober him up, New Year's Eve, 1949. And that's the only time I've ever been in a tavern, as far as I know. And I've not merchandised there. I cannot tell you I know for sure by testimony that it's more fun here than it is in a tavern. I've never been in a nightclub. I've looked through a door at one in maybe some hotels where I was staying, but you can't see anything. It's so dark, and if I had to offer what they had to offer, I'd turn the lights out where you couldn't see it too. But I cannot tell you that I live the nightclub life or the country club life, or that kind of a life. I can't tell you that and say it's bad. I don't know. I've never lived that kind of a life. I cannot stay this morning and tell you that that I once smoked pot and I quit, and I'm happier now since I quit. I never smoked any pot. I don't know what it's like. I have no idea. I cannot tell you. My preacher told me it's wrong, and my mother told me it's wrong, and my Sunday school teachers told me it's wrong, and that was good enough for me because I had more sense than you young folks have that don't think Mama knows anything and think the preacher's old-fashioned and out of date and think the Sunday school teachers don't understand you. I've never in all my life been mixed bathing, and you shouldn't either. If you ladies don't know what's wrong with mixed bathing, ask your husband. He does. And if he doesn't say he knows it's wrong, then have him checked up physically. Something wrong with him. He needs a doctor. And he knows. He may lie and say he doesn't know, but he knows. And but I've never been mixed bathing. I've always thought you're supposed to bathe alone. And I've never been that. And by the way, I've been here 23 years. I'm still preaching what I preached 23 years ago. I got a sneaking suspicion if I last 23 more, I'll be preaching the same thing when I'm 78 that I am when I'm 55. But I don't know. I can't stand up here and say that that I used to do all these things? I don't know. I've never seen the inside of a house of ill repute. I've never seen the inside. I've never even, as a tavern, a nightclub. I don't know about stuff like that. But I do this. I contend that those sold out to God have more real fun than those in the world. And the reason I contend that is because I deal with those who just got back from both places. Going to both places, the folks that have, they go to the world are having more fun. Coming back, they don't have as much fun. I contend that Jesus can put you on a high that rises above cocaine or pot or heroin. Now, I do not know for sure. I've never been on a high on cocaine or heroin or pot, but I'm on a high for Jesus right now. But I can't tell you which is best. But I've noticed those who get back from those highs, and those that get back from a Jesus high are still high, and those that get back from a dope high are mighty low. So I don't know, but I contend that Jesus high is better. I contend that the child of God can get a bigger thrill from the Bible than he can bad literature. I don't know that that's true. I've never read a Playboy magazine or a Penthouse. Never the Colstons told me a lot about him, and so I'm taking it from his word. But I don't know about it. I've never read one. But I'll say this much. I've seen the crowd that does, and I've seen the crowd that doesn't. And I contend that the child of God can get a bigger thrill from the old book than the heathen can, or he can from bad literature. I contend that no disco can give as great a thrill as the church music can on the Lord's Day. Now, I do not know that's true. I've never discoed. I've seen folks my age who did, and they're so out of joint permanently that I've never discoed. But I've seen folks who do disco and those that don't disco. And those that don't disco are happier people than those that do disco. Oh, I didn't say going to the disco. I didn't say while you're at the disco. I said coming back from the disco. And I contend that God's men, this sounds a little funny because I'm one of God's men, but I contend that God's men are more exciting than movie stars. Now, I've never been around a movie star, but I have been around me, and that's very exciting to me. And so I am. But I tell you what, I haven't heard of any, pastors of Fundamental Baptist Churches committing suicide. I haven't heard anything about that. Maybe they have. But I'm reading the paper almost every week about some ex-movie star. Some movie star shoots, if he has any brain, shoots his brains out. And if he doesn't, shoots a hole in his head. And by the way, anybody who runs that stuff's got a hole in his head before he shoots. But I contend that that answered prayer is more exciting than anything the world has to offer. I contend that the church house has more real excitement than any nightclub in America. Now, I do not know. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I've got an idea. The Lane Colston, and I got an idea that she's a little better than Phyllis Diller. I've never seen Phyllis. Never seen her in person. I take it back. I was at a hotel in Evansville, Indiana. And I walked by the nightclub, and there was old Phyllis in there. And looked like a lawnmower just gone through her hair. And I don't know. I never have. I haven't been in that kind of business. The last movie I went to was Christmas Day 1944. I was called to preach 6 days later, and I decided that nobody ever told me a movie is wrong. I never heard it, but I knew it was because I went. And I don't guess my preacher ever preached against movies. I don't guess my mother ever told me movies were wrong. I don't think so. Back in those days, all you had was Tom Mix and Mickey Mouse and Andy Hardy. And those days, you couldn't even say a bad word in the movie. But the last movie that I attended was on Christmas night, 1944. I'm saying, I contend that living for God. And I'm not talking about just the sweet, tranquil peace like you have in a funeral home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about excitement. I'm talking about fun. I'll guarantee you. There's not a nightclub in this house that has more fun than I do. Not a one. I'll guarantee you. I don't know how much fun you have, but I'll tell you what. I'll let an unbiased jury walk with you for a week, walk with me for a week, and we'll announce next Sunday or 2 weeks from today who's the happiest, who has the best life. I don't know how much fun you have in the disco, but I know one thing, I have more fun than you do. I don't know how much fun you have in a nightclub, I know one thing, I have more fun than you do. Now, let's for a minute, however, let's accept the exaggerated premise that the world is right. Just for a few minutes. Let's just accept it for a while. Let's accept the premise that the world, I say exaggeration, that's a mild word for a big fat lie, but let's accept the premise for a while that the church cannot compete with the worldly thrills. Let's accept the premise for a while that Jesus high is lower than cocaine high. Let's accept the premise for a while that the church choir cannot compete with the Rolling Stones. Let's accept the premise for a while that the New Jerusalem cannot compete with the New Morality. And let's accept that. Let's just suppose for a while that there is more fun. And by the way, I don't deny that there's fun at the disco. I just deny that it lingers and lasts. I don't deny that it's fun to drink. I don't deny that. I've just seen folks on hangovers, and I deny that it lingers. So, but let's just accept the fact for a minute that there's more fun in the world. Now, there is a new dimension added by none other than the greatest expert on the subject the world had ever seen, and that fella is Solomon. Now, if anybody had a right to tell us which is best, it's Solomon. Solomon had it all. I mean, Solomon had everything that you think would make you happy, and anything that anybody in this room today thinks would make you happy if you had it, Solomon had it. For example, he had beautiful women. He had the 1,000 most beautiful women in his own eyes in all the land. Now, he also had a palace which took 13 years to build. At the age of 20, he became the king of Israel and reigned over Israel for 40 years. His income, annual income in gold alone, was $20 million a year. Think that one through. You can go through college on that, fellas. And $20 million a year. That's in gold alone. He reigned on a throne which was a solid ivory overlaid with pure gold. The Bible says he was the wealthiest king in the entire world. Did you know that Solomon had 1,400 chariots? He had 12,000 horsemen. He had 40,000 stalls for his horses. People came from all over the world to seek his wisdom. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, and 1,005 songs were written by Solomon. He had his own private orchestras. He had his own private comedians. He had his own private singers. Name it, he had it. But the Bible said, whatsoever thing his eyes saw that his heart desired, Solomon had. Now, this guy ought to be able to tell us whether what's right on this matter. And he tells us many things. He ended his life after having had all these things, just like you in your life. I can't keep you from going to sin, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you, you'll be sorry you did. I can't keep you from lounging around on the beaches half naked, showing your body off to the lustful eyes of wicked men, but I'll guarantee you, you're not going to be pleased about it one day. I can't keep you out of the taverns. I can't keep you from smoking pot. I can't keep you from watching your dirty movies. I can't keep you from dressing half naked in summertime. I can't keep you from your pot or your liquor or your taverns or your nightclub. But I'll guarantee you, as sure as God is God and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, I'll guarantee you, you're not going to be happy when you go out in that world. Oh, you'll have a fun for a while. It's always fun for a while. But the Bible says, and it's true, you believe it or not, it's still true. You like it or not, it's still true. You accept it or not, it's still true. You think I'm a nut or not, it's still true. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Solomon said, all is vanity. He said, nothing under the sun brings peace, joy, and happiness. Now, Solomon comes to his son and talks to his son. And he says, son,
I don't deny that the world has blessing. I don't deny that. He said, I'm not going to stand here and say, son, the world has no blessing. Now, when I say blessing, I'm talking about the true meaning of the word blessing. The word blessing means something to delight in, something that you enjoy, something that is exciting, something that is pleasant, something that is thrilling. And Solomon said to his son, Rehoboam, he said, son, he said, I don't deny that there's blessing in the world. I don't deny. He said, son, there's a difference, however. Now, hear me carefully. He said there's a difference in the world's blessings and God's blessings. Now, I'm going to read the text. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He said, son, he said, I'm going to tell you something. Rehoboam. He said, God has his blessings, and the world has its blessings. But he said, the Lord's blessings make you rich, but they have no sorrow with them. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying, Rehoboam, I did enjoy those 1,000 women. Now, I'm not going to stand here for a minute and say that a fellow who lives his life with pretty wicked women never has any excitement. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to stand here and lie and tell you that you wouldn't have some fun with some pretty wicked women. I've never done it. I don't know. But I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say that the devil's blessings always are accompanied by sorrow. Always are. The Lord's blessings, Bible says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and, are you listening? And he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, the devil's blessings all have sorrows with it. Oh, you say, yeah, you're old fundamental, narrow-minded fundamental. Yeah, and you're a broad-minded idiot. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And that comes from nobody less than the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God of gods and the creator of this universe. Every once in a while, most of this kind of preaching I do on Sunday night, because a lot of our people are on bus routes. If I wanted to skin our people and preach the devil out of them, I usually choose it on Sunday night. But there are a few of you that don't come back on Sunday night. And so occasionally I have to dedicate a sermon to you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather preach on victory and comfort and overcoming the devil and so forth. But I stand on Sunday morning unashamedly, without apology, to preach the same thing I preach on Sunday night. And that is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's not talking about dropping dead. That's talking about your soul shall die. That means your spirit shall die. That means your optimism shall die. That means your joy shall die. That means your thrill shall die. That means your excitement shall die. I'm not saying the world isn't thrilling. I'm not saying the world isn't exciting. I'm saying whatever thrill you get from the world, it'll die. Listen, you show me a person that's been on pot for 10 years that still gets excited. I dare you. I double dog dare you, kids. I dare you. You little high school seniors from Hammond Baptist, ever since you got your diploma last May, you've been flaunting the rules and having your own way. I dare you. Stand up. Stand up and tell me, kids. Stand up and tell me. Stand up back here. Just to tell. Stand up and name one. You name one person been on pot for 10 years that's still happy. Name it. Name it. Name it. You owe it to yourself to name it. Stand up. I dare you. Stand. I'm asking you. I beg you. Stand up and name him. Come on up here. Stand up. Hey, back in the corner. Stand up. You little gals that lie on the beaches half naked with your diplomas not even warm from the signature of last May, following the same wicked trail that every miserable wretch that's ever lived in this world has followed. You get somebody who's been there 10 years. I dare you. But I can trot you out hundreds and hundreds of people today who lived in this book for 50 years. 40, 30, 20, 10 who are happy, content, thrilled. Why? Because the devil's blessings bring with them an accompanying sorrow. And Solomon said, he said, son, I've had it all. I've had the women. I've had the money. I've had the throne. I've had the pleasure. I've had the excitement. I've had the liquor. I've had the dope. I've had it all. But he said, son, he said, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Every thrill the world has carries with it an abiding sorrow. He said, Rehoboam, I did enjoy the women. I did enjoy the wealth. The pleasure was fun. But he said, Rehoboam, with all of the world's blessings, there is a sorrow added. And I'll tell you what. Young folks, you go ahead and rebel. Go right ahead. And you go ahead, and I'm not trying to get you to do what I want you to do. I'm trying to get you to do something that'll make you happier 10 years from now than you are now. Stand up and tell me the alcoholic that's been an alcoholic. Tell me a name of a fella who's been on alcohol for 10 years who's happy. Stand up and tell me. Get up. Tell me. Anybody. Get up and tell me. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know it's right. You know it. Stand up and tell me. I double dog there. Get up back there, kids are misbehaving. Get up and tell me. Show me a person who's been on alcohol for 10 years who's happy. Show me one. There's not any. The most miserable wretch in this world are those actors that come on the stage with their glittering outfits and their beautiful, gorgeous clothing and their gorgeous demeanor and walk out there with a trained, professional manner and try to make you think that they're happy. If that's the case, why are they pointing guns at their heads and blowing their brains out? I'll tell you why. Because the devil's blessings always are accompanied by a sorrow. God's blessings aren't. The old man Solomon said to his son, son, listen to me. Listen to me, son. He said, the blessings of the Lord make rich. But he said, he addeth no sorrow with it. I could stand here today and I know what I'm talking about here. Because my dad was an alcoholic. There's nothing I hate more than alcohol. Nothing. Nothing. I'm talking about one drop. I'm talking about one drink. I'm talking about one martini. I know what it'll do. I know. Don't you tell me it's not. I know what it'll do. I could stand here and I could not begin to tell you the accompanying sorrow that comes with alcohol. Now, it doesn't come at first. It doesn't come at first. It comes in the end. Listen, let me tell you what kind of week I've had. One fellow came by the office and said, Pastor, I've got to talk to you. He said, I'm miserable. He said, my life is wrecked and ruined. My health's gone. My kids have all gone to the devil. And I'm unhappy. I'm miserable. Under the house, I've just so bad. Oh, what is the trouble? I've been reading too much Bible. Oh, I've been reading the Bible all over the house. I read the Bible and it made me sick and I had a hangover after I read it all night last night. I had a hangover this morning. Brother Hound, I went soul winning. Oh, Brother Hound, woke up next morning, I was so sick in my stomach and I'm tired. It made me sick. Now, that may do it. Nobody does that. Listen. Listen. You know I'm insulted. Young people, every teenager, hear me. I'm insulted. I'm insulted that you think your preacher's a liar. I'm insulted. I'm insulted that you don't believe me. I'm insulted that you don't think I know what I'm talking about. I'm insulted. I mean, I'm hurt. I mean, my feelings are hurt. Why? Because you say you don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. You could sit in my office with me for 1 week. You would never take a drink as long as you live. You sat in my office 1 week. You'd never smoke one pot as long as you live. You sat in my office 1 week, you would never go on a beach half nude as long as you live. You sat in my office 1 week, you would never miss church. You would tithe. You would love God. You read your Bible. Why? Because the devil always brings accompanying sorrow. The lady came over to our church and she said, I don't like all that hollering. Honey, it's not my hollering you don't like. It's what I'm hollering that bothers you.
Because you don't mind hollering at the Bears football game or the Cubs game. Nobody does it there, of course, but you don't mind that. I want to tell you something. I want you to hear me. Teenagers, I'm offended. I'm hurt. I mean it. I'm 55 years old. And you ask the young folks at youth conference of the day who came for the youth conference. You ask them if Brother Hiles is a stick in the mud. You ask them. You ask them. But I'm offended. I'm hurt. Because you think I'm a liar. The truth is, I'm not. I'm talking to some young men in this house today who went to Hiles Anderson College. And you've been sucked in by the lies of the devil. And I want you to know, you hear me, I want you to know, you're headed for ruin. I mean ruin. Why? Because Solomon said, son, the blessings of the Lord make rich. And there he said that he addeth no sorrow with it. But he said it may be that the blessings of the devil make richer, but he adds sorrow with it. I'm not saying a country club life is not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying that the disco is not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying that Lover's Lane is not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying that dope is not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying that rock music is not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying the movies are not exciting. I am saying there's a sorrow added. I'm not saying that dancing is not exciting. I'm saying there's a sorrow added. I am not saying that drinking is not exciting. I'm saying there's a sorrow added. There's a sorrow added. There's a sorrow added. The devil comes and doesn't show you that sorrow. He doesn't put on the television screen the widow left home. He puts the Kennedys up there giving $750,000 to charity. He doesn't put the picture right beside him of all the orphans and widows and deformed people that the godless Kennedy family has left because of the liquor traffic that they've caused. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of making heroes of people because they give it away. Listen, brother, it'll take multiplied billions of dollars for them to give away to ever even begin to compensate or make up for the millions and billions of dollars of heartbreak and heartache and broken homes and lives and families. I'm saying it's a facade! It's a facade! The devil's a liar! The devil's a liar! The devil's a liar! The devil's a liar! You better listen to me. I'm saying that with each blessing of the devil, there comes a sorrow. Ask the little lady who carried for 9 months a baby out of wedlock. Ask her if there's a sorrow added. Listen, I'm not saying the night that baby was conceived wasn't fun. I'm not saying she didn't have a thrill the night that child was conceived. I'm not saying that night in Lover's Lane was not exciting. I'm not saying that. I am saying that when the devil delivered that thrill to her, there was a little package that she didn't notice. It's called sorrow. Ask her. Ask her now, kids. Ask her now. Check with her today as she wonders where her baby is. Check with her now. As she goes to bed at night, knowing that somewhere in this world there's a child who came from her own body. Ask her if the devil doesn't add a sorrow with his blessing. Ask that man dying with liver ailment because he drank himself to death. Ask him. I'm not saying it wasn't fun in that tavern. I'm not saying when that scantily clad little harlot brought his martini to him, sat down beside him and asked him to buy her a drink. I'm not saying he wasn't exciting. I'm not saying that. But ask him now. And by the way, Mr. Kennedy, put that on your liquor ads. See him as he's wilting away to nothing. Put his picture on your liquor ads. Put him as one of your distinguished men. You're going to advertise the blessing of sin, then put the accompanying sorrow right beside her, or you're dishonest. Ask the young man hooked on drugs. Ask him. But you say, Brother Hiles, I never get Never forget, I never planned to get hooked on drugs. Neither did anybody else. Nobody ever went out and said, I'll get hooked on drugs today. Think I'll become an alcoholic today. Sounds fun. Nobody says that. It's just like that guy in Texas who had that little cub lion. Lived not too far from where I was when I was a boy. Had that little cub lion. He put that little thing in a cage. You could hear that thing roaring outside our neighborhood as it got older. At night, it was only about a block and a half from us. About a block and a half, roaring. I've never been a lion, so I can't roar like a lion, but roar at night. Ask him. He played with that little cub of a lion. He got bigger and bigger and bigger, and one day while he was playing with the big cub, one day, the lion's claw scratched him on the hand. And the lion reached with his tongue and licked the blood that came. And the lion got a taste of his blood. He jumped on that fella and killed him right there in the cage. And that's what you're doing. You got some little pet sin. You got some little pet. I won't become an alcoholic. He didn't say, I want to get killed by a lion today. That sounds like fun. He didn't say that. He toyed with that which was deadly, and so are you. Any of you. You're going to be dead one of these days. Your life wrecked and ruined. Yeah. Ask the man who lost his wife and son. Ask these men up here. Ask this man right here. That stub of the arm isn't there because he turned the Bible too much. He didn't lose his right arm because he got arthritis from turning the pages. No, sir, he didn't. He lost that right arm because one day he went to church and nobody had the gumption to preach what I'm preaching this morning. He went to church and nobody told it like it was. And he believed what the devil said, and it was fun. It was fun. Ask him if it's fun now with one arm. Ask the mission men if it's fun. Ask some of those men up there that go to bed every night with memories of their children and their home. Now, in some cases, they can't even go to their children's house on Christmas Day. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. It's time some of you kids quit hating your preacher. I don't hate you, then listen to me. Ask the young man who fathered a son. And somewhere in this world, there is now a little boy who came from his own loins. A little boy who is his son. A little boy who has a right to call him daddy. Ask him if the thrills of the world don't have an accompanying sorrow. Ask the couple trying to tell a child he's illegitimate. I'm working with a dozen right now. Ask them. I'm not saying it wasn't fun. Before they got married, they lived in sin. I'm not saying that. I am saying there is always an accompanying sorrow with the blessings of the world. Always is. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Ask the dozens of ladies in this room rearing children by themselves. Ask them. You can have, by the way, ask Rehoboam. He's the guy that heard this. Solomon said, son, I've had it all. Now he said, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But son, the blessings of the world maketh rich, but they all have an accompanying sorrow. Son, listen. Rehoboam went his headlong, headstrong way. He said, as some of you say, my dad's old fogey. Preacher's hard-boiled. One reason the preacher's hard-boiled is because you're hard-headed. Wouldn't it be nice? Hey, look at me. Everybody in the house, look at me. Wouldn't it be nice if I could stand up and say, folks, I got an announcement to make. Hear me. I got an announcement to make. I just found out that smoking pot is bad for you, and you won't be happy. And all of you would get your papers and write that down. Preacher said it. No pot. I'll never smoke pot. Okay, takes care of that. Now, wouldn't that be nice? I wouldn't have to holler then. You know why I got to holler? Beat some sense in your head. Yeah. Well, you say, you're not going to affect me. In the first place, you're a liar. I'm affecting you right now. And you may smoke some pot this afternoon, but you won't enjoy it like you did yesterday. Yeah, you may go out on the beach and show your nine-tenth naked body and show half your bosom and show your thighs and half of your hips. You may do it this afternoon, but you'll hear ringing in your ears that it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And there is an added sorrow coming along with it. I can't keep you. I'll just go and show you. Yeah, and while you're there, I'll show you too. Because you won't get over what I'm saying. You'll be sitting there, and I'll show him. Although he thinks he can run my life, I'm having fun. I'll do this. I don't care what he says. He's not going to keep me having fun. I have fun right now. Let's have fun. Let's have fun, sure. Okay, have fun. You crazy fool. Rehoboam said to his dad, I hear you, Dad. But he went his own way. He became the king and did not follow his dad's advice. And led an entire nation to ruin. I can't tell you today. I can't tell you that the discos aren't exciting. I'll be quite frank with you. I've seen a few from the outside, and they look sort of exciting. Sometimes on television news, I've been in a motel room, and they'll show some folks discoing. Those lights flashing on and off. I can't tell you that doesn't look like it might be fun. I was out at Las Vegas and Reno not long ago. I was preaching in Reno, had transferred, changed planes to Las Vegas. Went out to Reno to our offerings down a little bit, decided to make up for it some. And I can't tell you that those casinos don't look exciting. And I'll be honest with you. If I stayed for 5 hours, now look, I'm a preacher. I've been living this book 37 years. I've been preaching. I've preached almost 3 sermons a day for over 30 years. But I believe if I stayed in one of those casinos 5 hours, I'd want to play one. I mean it. I looked at that. I was there about 5 minutes, and I looked at it and said, you know, I wonder. Nope. I'm not saying don't look exciting. I'm not saying that the girls aren't pretty in the taverns. I've never seen one of the call girls. I'm not saying they aren't pretty. I'm not saying that the sinful life is not exciting or pretty. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that every thrill and blessing the devil has an accompanying sorrow. And everybody in this room who's ever live for a while in any sin can stand up right now and say you're telling the truth. And I am saying that the blessings of the Lord, however bland they may look from the outside, however unexciting they may appear to those who just got back from the herky-jerky disco, I am saying that the Lord's blessings have no accompanying sorrow. You can take your fancy sin. Take it. You can have your nightclubs and your nudity on the beaches. And you can have your pot and your liquor and your cigarettes and your Hollywood. You can have it. It's all counterfeit. It's all a facade. But as far as I'm concerned, just give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. And all these years, I've never had one hangover. Except the one right here hangs over just a little bit. Yeah, I see you sit out there. You got that sinful look on your face. I've been letting this is over. If you come here, it ain't never going to get over. I've been letting this is over. Yeah, I know. But cute little darling, sweetie face, precious little know-it-all, lovely little nitwit, wiggle your false eyelashes under your false eyebrows, painted by watercolors of the blue color, and take your little clothes and take them off and show your little navel all over the beach. And get around the pot-smoking crowd and smoke your cute little pot. And live it up, honey. Have your fun now. Because there is a sorrow that's hooked on, trailing that fun. But the blood of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Father, bless the message.